You'll never know how much I really care. Listen, do you want to know a secret? Do you promise not to tell? Whoa, whoa, closer. Let me whisper in your ear. Say the words you long to hear. I'm in love with you. Ooh. Listen. Do you want to know a secret? Do you promise not to tell? Whoa, whoa, closer. Let me whisper in your ear. Say the words you long to hear. Secret for a week or two. Nobody knows, just we two. Listen, do you want to know a secret? Do you promise not to tell? Whoa, closer. Let me whisper in your ear.
The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
When Nicole Sandler sits down to do her show, she's the producer, booking the guests, pulling the audio, planning the show, the engineer, running the controls, troubleshooting any problems, playing the sounds, calling the guests, and she's the webmaster, writing the blog, posting the podcast, maintaining the website, not to mention the host, interviewing the guests, explaining the issues, giving opinions, and calling out the bad guys. And then you get the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com.
Oh, I try. Well, welcome to a Tuesday, and of course, there was breaking news again last night. Before we get to that, I just want to bring you back in time. Thanks to MSNBC for this lovely montage of moments from the Donald Trump campaign for president.
Some bad things came out today, you know, those classified, you know, the word classified.
Mm-hmm. This was not just extreme carelessness with classified material.
No.
Which is still totally disqualifying. This is calculated, deliberate, premeditated misconduct.
The Secretary of State was extremely careless.
Oh, I thought he was talking about himself.
In handling our classified secrets. She lied about passing on classified information.
Amazing, right?
In my administration, I'm going to enforce all laws concerning
the protection of classified information.
She said she sent nothing more classified. A total lie. We can't have someone in the Oval Office who doesn't understand the meaning of the word confidential or classified.
Put classified information in the reach of our enemies.
Classified, confidential.
They're so classified, they're beyond classified.
And maybe classified at the highest level. You know, how sad.
How sad. Yeah, it is sad. You know, the part in there where he was, you heard the three different voices at the same, all dumps, but three different instances of his voice at the same time. All that came, MSNBC did this montage and they had a split screen and it showed him at different times doing this, you know, bad-mouthing Hillary Clinton for playing fast and loose with classified information, which I still don't think she really did. But we know he's been doing it. This is unbelievable. Unbelievable. So in a nutshell, and I'm going to play Here's What's News in a moment, which really goes through exactly what happened. But in a nutshell, what happened is we all heard this the day after The day after he fires Comey, he has a meeting in the Oval Office with Sergey Lavrov and doesn't tell anyone that Kislyak is there as well. The only reason we knew Kislyak was there was because of the pictures, and there weren't American pictures because no American photographers were allowed in, no American media, but Russian media was allowed in to photograph and maybe record what went on. Who knows? But during that meeting, he gave up classified information having to do with what happened. We all heard the news over the weekend that they're looking at banning laptop computers from all flights coming into the country from out of the country, right? A step up from a similar ban from a handful of mostly Arab nations just a few weeks ago, right? Well, apparently, there was a classified briefing. Dump doesn't know where he got it from, per McMaster today, but something he heard, you know, that he thought, what the hell, I'll just share it with the Russians. It was classified. Nobody in our country had the permission to share that information with the Russians or anybody else for that matter. And yet Dump thought, no big deal, I'll just tell the Russians. In fact, not only did he tell him, he tweeted about it, saying that he had every right to do it. And as president, he does. It's like the old Nixon thing. You know, when the president does it, it's not illegal. Mm-hmm. So here's what he wrote. As president, I wanted to share with Russia at an openly scheduled White House meeting, which I have the absolute right to do, facts pertaining to terrorism and airline flight safety. Humanitarian reasons, plus I want Russia to greatly step up their fight against ISIS and terrorism. He is sad. As I said to David shortly before I went on the air, it would be funny, it would be laughable if it weren't so frightening. Truly. So he gave up this information. The Washington Post broke the story last night. I think the article was posted at the Washington Post somewhere around 7:30 last night. That's why the late night comedians weren't all over it. They'll be on it tonight because their shows happen at like 5:30 in the afternoon. It is just a giant clusterfuck. That's the only way I can put it. It's like there are no words. And today, after he went out there yesterday or last night, whenever the hell it was, McMaster, and he did a non-denial, in which he denied things that weren't in the article. He denied that they said things that nobody ever alleged that they said, or he said, they, he, them. The administration, it's really difficult to keep it all straight. So you know what? Let's just do it. Let's do what's news, and then we'll come back with Gotta Laugh to try to claw our way through this madness. All right? Okay.
I read the news today. Oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
More actual breaking news rattled the nation on Monday night when the Washington Post reported that the president had revealed highly classified information to the Russian foreign minister and ambassador. The sources, current and former U.S. officials, said Trump's disclosures jeopardized a critical source of intelligence on ISIS. The Washington Post writes, "The information the president relayed had been provided by a U.S. partner through an intelligence-sharing arrangement considered so sensitive that details have been withheld from allies and tightly restricted even within the U.S. government."
Listen, do you want to know a secret? Do you promise not to tell?
The partner had not given the U.S. permission to share the material with Russia, and officials said Trump's decision to do so endangers cooperation from an ally that has access to the inner workings of the Islamic State. After Trump's meeting, senior White House officials took steps to contain the damage, placing calls to the CIA and the National Security Agency. One of the reporters who broke the story, Washington Post's Greg Jaffe, told MSNBC,
"He was doing this in a boastful manner, or at least he launched into this part of the conversation in a boastful way. He was bragging about, I get the best intel, I have these amazing great briefings every day, you wouldn't believe the stuff I hear."
And the reason I say that is not in a braggadocious way.
He goes through this discussion, and the particulars are highly sensitive. He's talking about the ways that the Islamic State is putting together this threat, the ways that it is pursuing this plot that has to do with bringing laptops, as using laptops as explosives on an airplane. And beyond that, he reveals the specific city inside the Islamic State's territory where this intelligence was gleaned. And so that was the real source of alarm. And then he comes, then he wraps it up by saying, talking about the countermeasures, the U.S. military operations underway to suppress this threat, the other countermeasures, including the laptop ban that could be extended, and kind of jokes his way out of it, saying, can you believe the world we live in? Boy, when I was 25 years ago, you didn't have to worry about this stuff.
We have no secrets. We tell each other everything.
The reactions came quickly, with even one of Trump's Republican supporters chiming in.
Republican chairman of the Foreign Relations Committee, Senator Bob Corker, saying tonight, quote, the chaos that is being created by the lack of discipline is creating an environment that I think creates a worrisome environment. He says, quote, obviously they are in a downward spiral right now and have got to figure out a way to come to grips with all that is happening.
The administration even sent out one of its more credible lieutenants to push back on the story, National Security Advisor McMaster.
There's nothing that the president takes more seriously than the security of the American people. The story that came out tonight, as reported, is false. The president and the foreign minister reviewed a range of common threats to our two countries, including threats to civil aviation. At no time were intelligence sources or methods discussed. And the president did not disclose any military operations that were not already publicly known. Two other senior officials who were present, including the Secretary of State, remember the meeting the same way and have said so. Their on-the-record accounts should outweigh those of anonymous sources. And I was in the room. It didn't happen. Thanks, everybody.
Not so fast, as Washington Post Greg Miller with Aaron Burnett.
He's saying your story is false and no sources and methods were disclosed. But I want to be loud and clear here. Your story does not say sources and methods were disclosed. It says a specific plot was discussed from which one would be able to figure out sources and methods. Am I correct?
I think that's right. And I think that the White House is playing word games here to that effect to try to blunt the impact of this story, nor do any of these White House officials who are denouncing this story, nor have any of them offered any explanation why, if this was also above board and not problematic in any way, why did the National Security Council, coming out of this meeting, feel it was necessary to contact the CIA director and the director of the National Security Agency to give them a heads up on what Trump had just told the Russians?
Right. So the bottom line is, you stand by this story on every word of it. He says it's false. You say no.
Absolutely.
With the story dominating the Tuesday morning headlines, Trump took to the Twitters, throwing McMaster under the bus by admitting he did give the Russians classified information, tweeting,
as president, I wanted to share with Russia at an openly scheduled White House meeting, which I have the absolute right to do, facts pertaining to terrorism and airline flight safety. Humanitarian reasons, plus I want Russia to greatly step up their fight against ISIS and terrorism.
And a few minutes later, obviously trying to change the narrative, he again tweeted,
I have been asking Director Comey and others from the beginning of my administration to find the leakers in the intelligence community.
Go to the mirror, boy. Go to the mirror, boy.
Pot meet kettle. Once again, Stephen Colbert gets it right.
Donald Trump. If you're watching, first of all, you're a bad president. Please resign.
If you appreciate these What's News reports, I hope you'll consider a contribution. The Nicole Sandler Show and What's News are 100% listener supported, and we do need your help. Find out more and donate at NicoleSandler.com/donate.
This is a huge, huge issue.
And we're talking about it. The Nicole Sandler Show on Progressive Voices and NicoleSandler.com.
Can't afford a monthly donation? Is that what's getting you down, Bunky? But maybe you shop on Amazon.com occasionally?
Well then, just use the NicoleSandler.com Amazon portal, and we'll get a small commission on all your purchases.
But I just bought...
Don't worry, we can't see what you bought.
Just bookmark Amazon through the NicoleSandler.com portal and use it. Every purchase helps Nicole stay on the air. And now, it's time for the Nicole Sandler Show segment, Shooting the Shit with Laffy.
Hey, got a laugh? Oh, yes. Whoops, wait. Oh, hold on. We have. Oh, I think I know where that's coming from. Hold on. I changed my configuration this week, and because so that I could bring you up, and the phone won't have any phone issues. But now I think I'm hearing YouTube coming through this other computer. Bear with me. Come on. Okay, now we can do it. Oh shit! It's still happening. No. Uh-oh. We've got an echo. Hold on, I'm going to look one other place. Echo. I was like on top of it. Everything was working relatively well.
I can hear you.
That's muted. I know, but I'm hearing an echo.
Oh, no. Oh.
Shit. Where is it coming from? Hold on, I'm going to look one other place. Okay, can't be there. When I bring it down here, all right. I see where it's coming from. Hold on, give me one more second. One more thing to mute. Come on. This computer is so sensitive. I'm gonna make it cry. Okay, now we're good. All right. Yeah. Let's do this over again because I blew the open. All right.
And now it's time for the Nicole Sandler Show segment, Shooting the Shit. With Laffy.
We're pros. Hello, got a laugh?
Well, yes. Hello there. You've reached the tapes. What tapes? Hotline.
Okay. Tapes, what tapes? Yes. I was looking for that number, but in my studio reconfiguration, I lost it. But I guess I found it again.
Press one. Mm-hmm. Press one if you think Trump secretly recorded people, or as the idiot in chief would call it, wiretaped.
Yay.
Press 2 if you think Trump secretly records people so that he can study them later to learn to speak in full sentences and polysyllabic words.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Press 3 if you think Trump secretly recorded his conversation with Comey just to prove that there's at least one person who will still talk to him. Have a nice day.
You too. Did you hear the beeps?
Yes, I did.
Yay. See,
I almost said something, but I would have interrupted myself.
Yes, so well, you know, we have the only answering machine that answers questions. It's pretty cool.
It's the new Interactive 3000.
Yeah, well, I cheated because I have them on a button. So I can beep them anytime I want.
Beep, beep, beep.
Yeah. So this is just unbelievable. Just when you think.
Oh, my God.
Right? I mean, we were all Comey'd out. It was all about Comey. And then it's like, okay, what? So, you know, that story wasn't over yet. So what does he do to deflect from the Comey story? He leaks classified information to the Russians. Oh, my God.
Is your head spinning?
It hasn't stopped. I feel like I'm going to vomit green pea soup any moment.
I know. I cannot keep up with this. And, you know, between trying to listen to this audio White House press lying session
Why did they do that?
Maybe because his bags under his eyes are so droop. I don't know. I really don't know if they wanted the optics of everybody jumping down his throat. I really don't know. But boy, did he sound lethargic.
Well, I wonder, was there any explanation given? Because I turned it on in the middle of it and they were showing pictures from, you know, the Russian pictures of the Oval Office. They showed pictures with what's his name from Turkey, Erdogan today. Mm. All kinds of things.
He called him Ergon.
Ergon?
He called him Ergon the first time out. He swallowed his D or
but
something.
Still,
but
it's wrong.
He never got Erdogan right.
If you read it, it looks like Erdogan. And I used to say that, but you know, I digest the news, so I understand. No, it's pronounced Erdogan.
Wouldn't you think if he's going to have a meeting with him that he would get his damn name right?
You would think. But my God, the man is just such a total moron. The good news is, if there is any good news to be had, is that more and more people are seeing the reality that, oh my God, we have a moron in the White House.
Until the GOP gets their precious tax cuts, they are going to play it safe unless they just can't anymore, unless they are forced in. I mean, they're already sort of tiptoeing sounded and using the same talking points that the White House is using. Like, well, he's allowed to declassify it anytime he wants to. He isn't declassifying American intel. He declassified Israeli intel.
Well, do we know?
He is not allowed to.
Do we know it was Israeli?
Yes, it was reported by the New York Times.
Oh boy! Okay,
In fact, I have a little BuzzFeed article that popped out just before you came on, and it was tweeted out by Jacob Kornblue, whatever, from the J Insider. Jewish Insider. There it is.
Okay.
Israeli intelligence officer. We are, quote, boiling mad and demanding answers regarding the current intelligence sharing agreement. The article here says that
So much for my hope that by putting you on
there has
computer,
to be trust for this sort of
you're breaking up on
I'm
me
sorry?
I said so much for my hope that by putting you on the other computer it would be better. You keep dropping out. All right, go ahead.
Oh crap. Okay, so this is from BuzzFeed. An Israeli officer said there has to be trust for this sort of arrangement. I cannot speak for Israel's entire security apparatus, but I would not trust a partner who shared intel without coordinating it with us first. There's a special understanding of security cooperation between our countries. To know that this intelligence is shared with others without our prior knowledge, that is, for us, our worst fears confirmed.
Wow. See, and I had read something earlier this morning about the fact that Israel was warned specifically by some people in the White House, some people in the administration, do not share sensitive information with the president because he can't be trusted, basically.
Yeah, that's basically what this guy was saying. And then so the New York Times headline was Israel was the source of secret intel that Trump gave to the Russians. And then a quote from that I pulled is, it also raises the possibility that the information could be passed to Iran, Russia's close ally and Israel's main threat in the Middle East. So everyone on Twitter is saying, will they cancel he's supposed to show up in Israel,
right?
Which should be real interesting.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's a mess. It's an absolute, he made a messy situation so much messier.
And he seems to not have a clue. All you have to do is look at his tweets and you'll see he's utterly clueless.
He just doesn't get anything. He's truly like when he was out there with Erdogan and he read an opening, right? He always reads his little opening statement.
Right.
He sounds like he's reading a book report for the first time as a 10-year-old and then looks at it and then, oh, yeah, look at, and he comments on it as he's reading it. does with everything.
Did you see any of his commencement speech at Liberty University yesterday? He read each word like this because he was reading off the teleprompter. And isn't that right, Jerry? Right, Jerry?
Oh,
right, Jerry? Isn't that right, Jerry? Every other word was to Jerry Falwell Jr. Like, right, Jerry? You know, right, Jerry? I mean, it was...
He's constantly looking for the reassurance and the acceptance from his fellow supporters, whoever they may be. So, of course, he's going to say, isn't that right, Jerry?
Because
that's the only comment he can make. He doesn't know what he's reading. He's only seeing it for the first time. So what he does is he annotates as he goes along if he thinks of something.
Yep.
Like, oh, yeah, now that's true. You know, or he'll look to somebody else for the pat on the back.
Yeah. Well, and then, okay, so it was stunning and it was just so pandering and so god awful. And of course, he couldn't resist the crowd. You see the size of this crowd? I saw the stadium. It's a beautiful stadium. And look how many, you think you are going to get it full? And oh my God, look how many people are here. They're not there to see you, you fucking moron. This is their graduation. They're there and their families are there because they're graduated. Yes. And they're required to show up.
Right. Oh my God. He's just so lame. There isn't another word for it. Yes. And then as Call Me Trip in chat said, he
didn't invent prime the pump.
Credit for inventing the phrase prime the pump.
Does he not know what that means? I mean, look, I was born, I know I'm old and all, but after, you know, we have to go out and pump our own water. But before you could pump the water, you would have to prime the pump. It was an actual thing. And so, but he coined the phrase. I understand he's older than Methuselah, but ba-dum-bum-tsh. Really?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I have probably 10 things lined up as well as my TweetSpot. Do you want to just go right into TweetSpot?
Yeah, why not? We can do that like this.
Welcome to my TweetSpot.
Okay, tweet. I love that. Me too.
Okay.
And
now,
you could hear
some
it.
Some of these were... I'm sorry, I missed that.
I'm cheering that you could hear it because I switched things around from computer to computer. That's why I'm jumping the gun a little bit today. And that's why the sound at the beginning of What's News was cut off on YouTube because I'm all, you know, everything's backwards. But I'm getting there.
No, it's coming off. Fine, you're fine. I also am hearing the little cutouts that you're hearing. We're dropping out from each other.
I think it's on your side.
We'll catch up.
Yeah. We're there.
Probably. I'm on Skype and it sucks. So, but anyway, so my initial tweets that my first two maybe were before the Washington Post story broke last night about his scandally thing.
Right.
Say again.
Before all hell broke loose.
Yes, indeed. Indeed. So the first one was from Brad Jaffe of NBC. Inbox. Congressman Texas Representative Al Green calls for the impeachment of President Trump. So this was the first time somebody got real serious about calling for impeachment, and it was on paper. And he goes on, you know, with a screen grab of the.
Hello.
Respect for and obedience to our social norms. Are you? Am I gone?
Yeah, you were. You're back.
I'm
now.
Here.
Okay. And that happened right when I kicked a cord.
Okay.
I kicked a cord, and I thought, "Oh shit! I disconnected her. Now I'm really screwed."
Oh. It sounds like everything is real tenuous, like every little connection over there is barely, yeah. my end probably too. Anyway, he just goes on to talk about the premise for asking for impeachment. But the point was that somebody said the words out loud who was in a position to say it.
Say the words again.
The first...
Which word? Say it again because we missed it.
Impeachment.
Oh, impeachment. I got it. The I word. Somebody.
The I word.
Yes. There was a letter to the editor in one of the Al Green, Congressman Al Green said that. Right. There was a letter to the editor in one of the newspapers that I read over the weekend that said something about the I word. I'm not talking about imbecile or inarticulate or it was a whole litany of I words. And then finally, and they all fit. Idiotic, imbecilic. You know, I'm not thinking off the top of my head, but it went on and on. There were at least a dozen I words. And he said, no, I'm talking about impeachment. It was pretty spot on. Yeah,
that's awesome. But anyway, yeah, so that he goes on and he tweeted out the entire statement from Congressman Al Green, which is available online. So, yeah. So, yay that, you know, that somebody's sort of opening their mouths. And he said our mantra should be, and it's now a hashtag, ITN, impeach Trump now.
Ah, okay. That works. ITN.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. So, okay. So, that was his tweet. So that's wonderful. Mm-hmm. John Cryer, the actor John Cryer.
John Cryer, who's on was on three Two and a Half Men, but before better than that, Pretty in Pink. He was Ducky on Pretty in Pink. I mean that's what you have to remember John Cryer for.
Yeah, that's the only thing I've ever seen him in. I mean I don't watch that other stuff. So yeah, he said a little reminder. Trump is officially a candidate for 2020 right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's commenting Seth Abramson, an attorney, and who we like.
He's been on the show many times.
Yep. He's commenting on this. Seth Abramson, breaking. The Trump administration's attorney is on CNN right now arguing in court in Seattle that nothing Trump said as a candidate matters. Now, to go back to John Cryer, a little reminder.
He's a candidate. Right. Not only is he a candidate, he's running re-election ads.
Right. He's doing rallies.
He started running them 100 days into his one and only term, and we can say his only term. There's no way in hell he would ever win a second term. I don't care who's going to say what about anything. There is no way in hell this man could win a second term. I would love to see it if the election were held over. I think this one needs to be thrown out anyway because... we know the Russians meddled.
I totally agree. No, everything we've learned and everything he's doing, it should be annulled. It should be as if it never happened, and just totally a new election. Between them, let's have Hillary go up against him again. Okay,
oh God, no!
Let's not
please,
do that.
No.
Anyway, so yeah, so the point was that since they're arguing in court, since the Trump administration is arguing in court that nothing Trump said as a candidate matters, and he's currently running as a 2020 candidate now, then nothing he said says now should matter. So there. Okay. So then the Washington story broke about him sharing the intelligence, now we know, from Israel.
Right.
And so there's a series of tweets, and I've still even got more. I've just tons of things that I can share with you that are, clever and well done. First of all, we know that Trump doesn't have the judgment or the right to share this stuff. But Molly Knight, an author, said, "This is the day Donald Trump became president," she said mockingly.
That's funny.
I love that one. Glenn Thrush, we all know who he is. He's now with the New York Times, and he's always, in fact, he's on MSNBC as we speak.
And he's on Saturday Night Live every week, too.
Yes. It says, advisors say Trump's moot, growing sour, and then the Chiron went away. I was just going to try to read you something.
No, I have your reported fact chain, right? The one you sent me from Glenn Thrush.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I was just looking. He's on. There was a Chiron I was going to try to read you. Basically, the tempers are flaring and confusion is swirling. Confusion is swirling, according to Glenn Thrush.
Well, you know what? Wait, back to that in a second. But there are reports. I don't know if it was from Glenn Thrush or others who, you know, hang out in that, you know, White House briefing room, that it was Sean Spicer. Or maybe Sean wasn't there. It was,
him and...
Steve Bannon. And they were screaming. They were shouting so loud at each other that they could hear them in the briefing room. And then somebody turned the TV on really loud to drown out the screaming. Oh, my God. Only to be a fly on the wall there. Can you imagine?
Oh, my God. It's such a mess. Anyway, yeah. So now the tweet from yesterday was that Glenn Thrush said, reported fact chain one. Yes. Comey requests more money for Russia probe. Mm-hmm. Two, Trump cans Comey. Three, Trump invites Russians to Oval, divulges state secrets. So that was a good little summation of what's been happening here.
Yes.
Right there.
And then denies that he did anything wrong. And we can continue. H.K. McMaster, I think those are his initials, H something McMaster. He's the one who is supposed to be the most normal of all of them.
Right,
the most,
the adult.
The adult in the room. He goes on with his non-denial. And he says, well, here, let me just play this because it was so classic. Again,
so
the
classic.
Things that were alleged were that Trump divulged this classified information that would in turn, talking about the laptops not being allowed on airplanes because allegedly ISIS has developed this way to turn laptops into bombs. There was no mention of, where it came from or what city the intelligence was gleaned from, because that would give them an in to who the double agent was who leaked, who gave the information, right? So,
I'm sorry, just so you know why I was laughing at that. Yeah. It brought to mind Kellyanne Conway saying that your microwave can be turned into a camera. So,
gotcha.
Sorry.
It's an alternative fact. So here's McMaster's original denial of denials.
There's nothing that the president takes more seriously than the security of the American people.
Right.
The story that came out tonight, as reported, is false. The president and the foreign minister reviewed a range of common threats to our two countries, including threats to civil aviation. At no time, were intelligence sources or methods discussed. And the president did not disclose any military operations that were not already publicly known.
And neither of those were alleged to have happened.
Two other senior officials who were present, including the Secretary of State, remember the meeting the same way and have said
so. Doesn't matter.
Their on-the-record accounts should outweigh those of anonymous sources.
Okay, but neither of those things were brought up in the story. So when today, before the off-camera spicy press briefing, McMaster came into the White House press briefing room. Spicy did the intro. Maybe he didn't want to be on camera twice in a day, because the makeup gives him acne or something. But anyway, so Jonathan Carl of ABC asked what I thought was the best question of the day.
When you came out after the story broke, you said that the president did not disclose any sources or methods. He did not reveal anything about military operations. Why were you denying things that were not even reported?
They
weren't in the story. What the report said is that the president revealed classified information that had been shared by one of our allies in the Middle East. So the question is simply a yes or no question here. Did the president share classified information with the Russians?
And he still doesn't answer.
As I mentioned already, we don't say what's classified, what's not classified. What I will tell you again is that what the president shared was wholly appropriate. The story combined what was leaked with other information and then insinuated about sources and methods. So I wanted to make clear to everybody that the president in no way compromised any sources or methods in the course of this conversation.
And then that was a bold-faced lie. He doubled down on what he had said, yesterday, which was, denying things that were never alleged in the original article. And then, he was allowed to say anything. We don't comment on what's classified and what isn't. And he's allowed to anyway, is basically what I took from that.
Well, yes. And they've been saying the same thing since last night. Today's White House press lying session was basically reiterating exactly what we already know and what you've already played. So it was just said in a bunch of different ways in a very tired voice by Spicy. So our friend Richard Allen Smith,
yes,
his comment was, and his tweet, GOP's only problems with her emails seems to be the added unnecessary steps instead of just delivering classified info to Putin directly.
Seems to be the added unnecessary steps of just delivering. All right. Exactly.
You just go directly to Putin.
I suppose.
Now, here's something Nikki Haley just said. U.S. is willing to talk to North Korea if missile nuclear tests stop. So they're taking steps to divert us with that, too. So now I have a bunch more because I was saving tweets during the briefing, and I had stuff a little bit more from yesterday. Paul Begala.
Yes.
Mark Knoller. Okay, Mark, I'm doing these randomly. I forgot what order I put him up in. Mark Knoller, who's, what is he, CBS? Or he's
Mark
anyway.
Knoller, I'm not, yes, I think he's CBS.
Spicer calls it, quote, frankly dangerous that some given access to intel material provide it to the media, undermining national security. So they're, of course, blaming the leak to the press. They're, that's their concentration point.
Isn't
that's
that amazing?
Focus. That's their talking point.
You know what? Trump,
yeah, it's ridiculous.
Trump this morning tweeted
I'll give Begala's response,
right, okay.
And then we can play.
Okay.
And Begala says, right, they should give it directly to the Russians like President Trump. So it's a takeoff on sort of what Richard Allen Smith said.
Uh-huh. I hear you. Well, Trump this morning tweeted out, I have been asking Director Comey and others from the beginning of my administration to find the leakers in the intelligence community, to which I tweeted back something along the lines of, you're the fucking leaker. You leaked. Now resign.
Exactly.
I mean, he's the one leaking.
I did the same thing, by the way. I said the same. A lot of us were saying the exact same thing. Anyway, my friend Rain, 1967.
I remember.
She said, "Okay, remember her?
Uh-huh.
She does some radio." Okay, I find it hilarious that Spicer thinks the Russian conversation in the White House was private. It was filmed by the Russian media.
That's the thing, and it's just mind blowing that Fox. I mean, this is the kind of thing. Can you imagine if it was reversed? If it was Hillary Clinton in office with any of this stuff going on? The heads that would be exploding all over the place. I mean, it would be like Spinal Tap times a million. Spinal Tap, the drummer, is always just combusted, all over the place. So bad joke there.
Yeah.
Their heads would be exploding left and right if any of this stuff went on. So they did not allow any American media in the room, but they allowed Sergey Lavrov to bring his personal photographer in, who just happened to work for the TASS news agency. That's their state-run news agency. And so all those pictures, did you notice how whenever you see photographs of Trump, he's always sour looking,
dour,
he's frowning, he's scowling at the camera. He's all laughing and yucking it up with these guys. And
right, and every other picture he has shaking somebody else's hand, another foreign leader's hand, they're very serious,
yes.
They're very formal. And yes, they were just laughing and backslapping and having the best time ever with their Russian cameras in the room.
Exactly. So somebody in the White House administration was quoted, I guess, off the record as saying, "We screwed up." You think? Can you imagine if it was any Democrat in office, Obama? But it wouldn't have happened. They wouldn't have said, hell no, no Russian cameras are coming in here. And you can only imagine if, Trump is taping everything that goes on in there, which I don't doubt, what they may have planted in there.
Oh, absolutely. That's a huge worry. That's something that a lot of people who know, a lot of ex-intel officers and current ones, are really worried about.
You know, it's true. And Kislyak, who's the ambassador, who, by the way, in the readouts of the meeting, they did not say that Kislyak was even there. It was supposed to be just Sergei Lavrov. And the only reason we knew Kislyak was there is because he showed up in these Russian pictures.
He's the one that does the spying for them. He's the one that passes himself off as an ambassador, who is actually their best spy.
Spy recruiter, as according to Jack Rice and others. He recruits people over here to spy for the Russians. I mean, he's a bad guy.
Oh, he's awful. Yeah. He's the one that met with Jared Kushner, too.
That's right.
And Flynn. Talked to them.
Yep. Yeah. That they hid that from them. Yep.
And now they're hiding Trump's meeting with him. So,
amazing.
But oops, revealed. Anyway, McFaul, I forgot his first name. He was the Russian ambassador for Obama.
Right. I think it was wrong,
anyway, he's,
but I could be wrong.
What is it?
I don't know. I think it's Rob, but I could be wrong.
That doesn't sound
right.
But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because we don't care. he said, again, the president can declassify, and this is a quote I took off the TV set this morning while I was blow-drying my hair. President can declassify American intel, not another country's intel. Trump was showing off.
I believe Trump was showing off. Well, the whole thing about it was bragging.
We get great intel. We have the best intel.
And I lost you again. This is Elizabeth.
Maybe stupid.
You're cutting out again. I'm going to play a cut. Elizabeth Jordan.
Yeah, sorry.
Elizabeth Jordan, who is on these days on Morning Jerk all the time. She said this.
This happened because he was boasting, because he was bragging.
International
joke. Couldn't control his mouth for the preservation of American national security. And someone's going to die.
And someone's going to die, she said. This had happened because he was bragging and someone's going to die. The person who's going to die, now that they know it was Israeli intelligence, they probably also know what region. Well, we don't know because they didn't release it to us, but Trump did. Told the Russians what region, the intelligence came from. They're going to be able to narrow it down and find out who the agent was who gave them the information, and that person will be killed. That's how it works.
Exactly.
That person will be killed. In fact, I'm going to play this clip. Ned Price worked in intel in the Obama administration, and he talks about how these assets help us. Listen to this clip because it's really fascinating.
It's absolutely shattering. Look, there is a sacred covenant between clandestine assets and their handlers, whether it's the CIA or any other professional intelligence relationship in the world. That covenant is based on the fact that we provide them safety and security and perhaps financial remuneration. They in turn commit treason. They commit treason against their governments. They commit treason against the terrorist organization to which they belong. They put their lives at risk, quite literally, in fact. And if it becomes known or suspected that the U.S. government is careless, that we are reckless, that we are not living up to our end of the bargain, no one is going to work for us any longer. We are going to lose valuable intelligence that has, over the years, and especially since 9/11, saved American lives.
Saved American lives. And the person who risked their life to give us this intelligence will likely lose his or hers.
Right. Oh, by the way, Joni McPhee on Twitter said it's Michael McFaul.
Michael McFaul. That's right. Oh, thank you, Joni.
What I was saying when I got cut out was that Trump was acting like his 5-year-old braggy self that we've heard so many times. I have the best people. I have the best, words. And now he has, I have the best intel.
Excuse me.
And the reason I say that is not in a braggadocious way.
Sorry. Excuse me.
any whoosies. Okay, so Maggie Haberman,
yes.
New York Times.
Yes.
The administration whose candidates stripped context from almost all allegations against rivals in 2016 asks journalists to consider context.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah,
she's talking about this Russia thing.
Yes, she is.
So again, their hypocrisy is insane.
It's blinding, and yet they talk about hypocrisy. They were all over how the Democrats, I love this, the Democrats were being hypocrites because they were all against Comey. They all wanted Comey fired until he fired them. Well, no, what he doesn't understand is, yes, we all wanted Comey fired. The day Dump took office is when he should have done it, not 6 months after he was elected and or selected. And while he's the running an investigation into Trump's ties with the Russian government, I mean, how does he not see the optics of that? And they're crying hypocrisy. They're hypocrites.
Oh, I know. I know.
The hypocrisy of hypocrisy.
I mean, we could say that hypocrisy are us.
Yeah.
Now here's an article from Newsweek that I. It's short, but it says NATO plans for Donald Trump's short attention span. They actually said, do I have my, it says, it's like they're preparing to deal with a child with a, I'm cutting their sentence down, with short attention span and mood, with no knowledge of NATO, no in-depth policy issues, nothing. So they're treating him, NATO is treating him like a five-year-old. This is embarrassing. This is terrible.
It's very embarrassing. In fact, there's a story up at Ross Story that I tweeted out about how NATO is kind of freaking out because they have someone coming in to meet with them who knows nothing. I'm going to pull up the story to find the exact quotes because it was almost funny. I mean, just not quite funny because it's, again, it's so sad that it's not fun. And now I can't even find it. Oh, I wish I could. The story was, I mean, it made my stomach hurt because the rest of the world is laughing.
Crying and terrified.
Yeah.
All three. They're scared. It's the same as we are. Laugh at him because how can you not, right?
Right.
But then you are hysterical because, like, oh my God, he's going to get us all killed and he's going to get our assets killed and he's going to destroy relationships around the world and they will no longer trust us and, you know, on and then there's this disbelief, like, no, this couldn't really be happening. So everyone's kind of going through the stages of grief and, or stages of disbelief or stages of Trump trauma the same way we are. It's terrible.
One day I just need to go through one of these sites like Ross Story and just read the headlines. Trump calls meeting with Russians great success. Israeli intelligence officer. Trump's intel blunder is, quote, our worst fears confirmed. Oh, this is a good one. Oregon man charged with decapitating mom on Mother's Day. Yes. I love this one. You saw the reports that on Morning Joke, they said that Kellyanne Conway said something that she's basically only doing this for the money. It was during the campaign that she off the camera, she said, now I need a shower. The man's like disgusting. I can't believe I have to do this job, but it'll be over soon. Headline, Kellyanne Conway denies secretly hating Trump after Morning Joe report. Quote, I believe in him.
Sure she does. Yeah.
Oh, right. Yes. Israel.
She hated him before she took the job.
She hated him before she liked him.
Yeah. Oh, my.
Israel feared
Steve
Trump.
Herman.
Okay, go ahead. Yes.
From Voice of America. He's the White House Bureau Chief for Voice of America News. He put out a pool report of the Erdogan meeting. And listen to how this takes place. They shook hands. Trump mispronounced Erdogan's name.
Right.
Great honor. We'll have long and hard discussions. Know they will be successful. Great relationship. Strong and solid discussions. Did not answer questions. This is pathetic.
It is pathetic. Can I quote Keith Olbermann for you?
Oh, yes, please.
You know, he's still doing his his videos for GQ. We need him back on the television.
But
here's the headline. Olbermann loses it over Trump's leaking. Quote, you are the leaker, you stupid, pea-brained, motherfucking traitor. I love Keith Olbermann because he doesn't mince words. And when you're on the internet, you don't have to mince words.
That's right. He can say whatever. And apparently his contract doesn't require him to not tweet. So, yay.
His old contract said he couldn't tweet?
He tweet like he was. Pulled him all the time from Twitter because he was spouting off like
I gotcha.
So they kept pulling him from Twitter when he was on different
We should talk
TV
about
stations.
Lawrence O'Donnell, too. But keep going. We'll get to that.
Yeah, definitely. I've got two articles up on that. Okay, so the Washington, this is from Kevin Flood, who is just somebody who likes to joke around. The Washington Post reported Trump shared highly classified information with the Russians, and we can't even see his taxes.
That is true. That is
true. Ain't that the truth?
Yeah.
Okay, so I put up a screen grab yesterday, last night. Maddow, I put the wrong one. Darn. It was a list of all the different.
It was a list of all the different, and that's all we heard. Next week, we're just going to have to do it on the phone because we have some kind of weird glitch going on here.
Things.
I lost you. You put up a screen grab of all the different, and that's all we heard.
Oh, I put up, I'm sorry. I had put up a screen grab, but the one I'm looking at is the wrong one. Last night, Maddow put up a list of every investigation into Trump that's going on right now.
Yes.
There have to be at least 10 of them. I mean, she listed them like, you know, there's the Senate, there's the House, there's the Inspector Generals, but mm-hmm. they all had different sub investigations, too. There are so many investigations into Trump's activities that even if they knock out one, you know, the FBI gets messed with or something, there are so many others that I think we're going to end up being okay investigation wise. That's why I put the list up, because it was a little bit reassuring, you know?
Well, there's a woman, and I'm drawing a blank on her name. She was on Bill Maher a few weeks ago. She's like a right winger. But apparently she's been ahead of all these stories.
Oh, Louise Mensch.
Louise Mensch. And she's claiming that there's already a sealed indictment against Trump.
No, that's not true. What's his name? I forgot the account, but there's a lawyer, really good, who people
Seth
really
Abramson.
Respect.
Seth Abramson keeps too. Fighting her, right?
But there's another one whose name I forgot.
Okay.
He doesn't. He's anonymous.
Oh,
but he's very reliable. One of those people,
and says she's full of shit.
He said this isn't even about how it would be done. This is wrong. It's completely bogus. She is, for some reason, progressives have fallen in love with her and give her a lot of credence because she's anti-Trump.
Right.
But she's also full of it. She has some stuff that makes sense and a lot of it that doesn't. But they keep hanging on to those few things that she says that they like. So she gets a lot of play.
So she's not a mensch.
She's not a mensch. Okay, I've got two Lawrence stories up that are competing here.
Okay, all right. So what's happening with Lawrence O'Donnell? You know, let me just say, before you go there, at the beginning, when Lawrence O'Donnell first came on the air, I hated him. He was such a bully. He would berate people who came on the show. He would cut them off and yell at them. And he just really rubbed me the wrong way. I don't hate him anymore. Now I really just hate Brian Williams.
Yeah.
See, what happens is I fall asleep super early, so it's not an issue for me. But then I wake up, and I wake up anywhere from 12:30 to 2 o'clock in the morning. And it seems like every time when I wake up in the middle of the night, if I turn on MSNBC, it's Brian Williams. The 11th hour or whatever stupid show he's got is always on. And he just makes my skin crawl.
I know. Even his speech, we are heralding here from NBC News, our broadcast.
The bombs and their beauty. I'm quoting Leonard Cohen here. Don't you dare quote Leonard Cohen in the wrong way. He's rolling over in his grave, goddammit, talking how beautiful this stupid missile was. Give me a break.
However, the good thing about his show is that it's a really, really good recap, because the people he has on, for the most part,
Nicole Wallace.
No, not her. I'm not talking about right-wingers. I'm talking about the news people or the intel people. They're usually people who really know what they're talking about and who are...
Next week, we do it by phone. I think Laffy's saying the people he has good journalists on at the end of the day, each day. Yes? We lost you again. Sorry.
Yeah. And they usually give you a good recap. And given that, yes, he does have guests on from both sides of the aisle. You know, he has Nicole Wallace to promote her new stupid show. But he also has some strangers on. And so Stu Stupid, I don't know what that is. But anyway, so I do learn things from that show. I have to tune out all the BS. But
yes.
Yeah,
and his flowery, overzealous language, showing that he knows big words.
I can't stand it.
Yes.
Yeah. It just drives us nuts.
All right.
I mean,
so meanwhile,
Mr. Laffy and I make fun of him all the time.
His contract is up in 4 weeks.
Yeah.
And
right. So they're threatening to not renew him.
Well, but what I heard is not that they're threatening to not renew him, but that MSNBC or NBC hasn't engaged in negotiations with his people yet, and it's 4 weeks out from the end of his contract, and when there's no
that's
engagement, but it's not in so many words. There's just nothing. It's just dead silence. Which
but in TV land,
is even
that's
worse.
A threat. If
right,
my husband came home and said, "Naked and Afraid hasn't talked to me,"
right?
Oh, are you hearing me? I'm sorry.
I'm hearing you.
Okay, if my husband came home and said, Naked and Afraid, I've got 4 weeks left and I haven't heard a word, bye!
Yeah, exactly.
That's what that means. So they're not engaging him, which means they're threatening him. Now, here's the competing, I haven't read one, but I've now Variety from yesterday says MSNBC and Lawrence O'Donnell are in negotiations to keep him on. Recent reports have suggested MSNBC declined to make executives available for comment. Then somebody in the chat room sent me Showbiz 411 from yesterday.
Okay.
MSNBC ending The Last Word Show despite top ratings.
Really?
Update.
But what site is that from?
This is from something called Showbiz 411.
Yeah, well, you know, I'll take Variety over Showbiz 411 any day.
Yeah, I will too. It just says, it says here that his tireless criticism of Trump is the cause of the trouble. Well, they all criticize him. I don't know what that's about. Phil Griffin fought back Trump's demands to Comcast chief Steve Burke that O'Donnell get fired for years. But now he's president, and now it's Andy Lack's decision, and Andy has never run a single promo for O'Donnell, and he wants access to Trump for Lester Holt interview and more. I don't know. Let's wait and see. But what scares me is that I haven't seen a tweet from Lawrence in 2 days, and he tweets his brains out when he's got something to say. So,
you know what? If he's not tweeting, then maybe that means that they've started talking.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I'm a little nervous, though. He was pitching himself. Every time they got good ratings, and he and Matt O and Chris Hayes, he would put it out there and say, we need to spread the word, meaning
right.
We need
well, I saw something from him the other day where he said, last week, Matt O had the number one rated show on all cable TV, not just cable news, but all cable TV. We were number two. So if that's the case, look, NBC, I get it. It's Comcast now, and they do have an ideology, and we've seen them go further and further to the right. But their number one religion is money,
right?
And they're not going to give up the money if he's making money for them. If they are truly, if Matt O and O'Donnell are the number one and two shows on cable right now, they're not going to. They'll just bite their tongues and let them have it. Just let them go because let them keep going is what I mean, because they're making money.
Right. And they'll do it begrudgingly because they don't want him on there. I wanted to find you. I wanted to find you a tweet that I put out this morning from the LA. Here it is, from the LA Times. It was about Megyn Kelly's big debut coming up. Right.
Oh, God.
She's going to be on the Today Show, and then she's going to have her own show, and then she's going to try, you know, there's going to be some other show. I don't know, all these shows. NBC's Matt Lauer says this about Megyn Kelly.
Yeah.
I call her Megyn Santa is White Kelly.
Yes.
Someone who shares our values will help us make even an even better tomorrow.
We'll make even a better tomorrow? What?
We'll help us. Will make us even better. I'm sorry. Will help make us even better tomorrow.
Ah,
She shares NBC's values, according to Matt Lauer.
Oh, good to know. Matt Lauer must have been reassured that she's not getting his job. Now, Savannah Guthrie, that's another story. You never know. Yeah. Apparently, they're sending her off to Russia to interview, what's his name?
Putin. Putin.
Yeah. And, you know, she'll just flirt with him or something. She'll bat her big false eyelashes. By the way, did you notice that when Sarah Huckabee Sanders, the first day she did the briefing, she was her usual frumpy self. But then the next day, she had on the pearls, her hair was curled, and she was wearing the fake eyelashes? Did you notice it?
You know, she got the memo.
You know, because Dump looked at her and said, "What is this? It's a woman? She's not a 10. Get her out of there. Get her out of there. She's not a 10. I could just hear him in my head. And sure enough, the next day, she comes out and they tried.
Well, somebody in chat is saying, the Dormouse is saying that there are rumblings that Hugh Hewitt would replace Lawrence.
Hugh Hewitt is in
talks for a weekend show.
Okay. Yeah, but they put what's her name on at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, which, you know, I'll tell you. With that, we're out of time. Gotta laugh.
Oh, we sure are.
We made it. I apologize. Next week, we'll be better, I promise. Gotta laugh. Find her at Gotta Laugh on the Twitters and at laffysplace.com at NicoleSandler.com. Thank you, Laffy.
Thank you, too.
Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
And with that, another edition of the Nicole Sandler Show comes to a close. Tomorrow, I'm not sure what we'll do, but we'll do it, whatever it is. Hopefully I'll sleep tonight. I will leave you with Brad and Desi and the Green News Report, and I'll see you back here tomorrow. Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting the program. I can't tell you how much I appreciate it.
It's Tuesday, May 16, 2017.
Shocked and disappointed. That's how Governor Cooper described federal hurricane funding.
99% of North Carolina's requests for disaster relief denied. April 2017, the second hottest April ever recorded for the planet. U.S. Secretary of State Tillerson signs climate change declaration. Plus, U.S. military warns of national security impacts of climate change again.
All of those stories and more straight ahead from BradBlog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
When Obama was, you know, channeling money and funds to green energy companies, Republicans were always saying, oh, he's picking winners. Yeah, at least he was picking winners from the future. Not picking winners from the 19th century.
Yep, this is your Green News Report.
It's like saying we got to get those Blockbuster video clerks back to work.
Okay, Desi Doyen, half the state of North Carolina was underwater or affected in some way by Hurricane Matthew, and yet Congress and Donald Trump just won't give them any more than, what, 1% of what they requested in disaster relief?
Yeah, that's right. President Donald Trump and Republicans in Congress have denied nearly all of North Carolina's request for disaster recovery funding in the aftermath of Hurricane Matthew back in October.
Well, that'll teach him to elect a Democrat for governor.
Hurricane Matthew killed an estimated 28 people and caused more than $5 billion in damages and losses across half of the state's counties. The state requested about $930 million in federal disaster recovery funds to repair critical infrastructure. But at a press conference promoting hurricane preparedness, North Carolina's Democratic Governor Roy Cooper said he's been informed they'll receive only about 1% of that request.
I was shocked and disappointed to see the paltry amount of money that was appropriated out of a $930 million request that was conservative. Only $6.1 million was approved.
Unbelievable.
Governor Cooper has asked Trump to visit for himself to see the devastation. Meanwhile, it's official. April 2017 was the second hottest April ever recorded for the planet.
See, it's getting cooler.
That's according to NASA. This April ranks second only to last April. The last four hottest Aprils on record all occurred in the last 4 years.
Global cooling.
An unusually warm spring in the Arctic fueled this second hottest April record, which is also notable because it occurred in the absence of an El Nino event boosting global temperatures. At least one member of Trump's cabinet has acknowledged the reality of man-made climate change. Last week at the annual meeting of the Arctic Council, comprised of the seven nations with Arctic territory, U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson formally signed on to the Fairbanks Declaration, a document that, quote, reiterates the need for global action to reduce both long-lived greenhouse gases and short-lived climate pollutants. Tillerson said, however, the United States will not rush to make a decision about whether to remain in the United Nations Paris Climate Agreement.
Take your time, Secretary Tillerson. Never thought I'd be happy that the former CEO of Exxon was our Secretary of State, but he seems to be the only one with any sanity in this administration when it comes to climate change right now.
Well, also with some sanity, the U.S. military. The U.S. intelligence community has also acknowledged that climate change is a national security threat. In the annual Worldwide Threat Assessment Report delivered to the Senate last Thursday by Trump's Director of National Intelligence, Dan Coats, the report warns that climate change is raising the risk and likelihood of conflict around the world, with warming temperatures triggering extreme weather disasters that risk destabilizing volatile regions and raising the risk of potential conflicts over scarce resources like water. In Ohio, the company behind the controversial Dakota Access Pipeline has been fined more than $430,000 for air and water pollution violations by the state of Ohio. In just 7 weeks of construction, Energy Transfer Partners' new Rover pipeline has already caused 18 leaks and spill incidents, including an estimated 5 million gallon spill of drilling mud that smothered a pristine Ohio wetland. The Federal Energy Regulatory Commission has also ordered the company to not start any new construction in any new locations until an investigation of the incidents is completed.
So once again, this is the company that runs the Dakota Access Pipeline, that controversial pipeline up in North Dakota approved by Donald Trump. 18 leaks. What could possibly go wrong in North Dakota?
But some good news. Norway just booted up its latest offshore wind farm, a truly massive array of 150 wind turbines that will supply 1.5 million homes with clean electricity. Here in the U.S., Maryland State Public Utility Commission has approved two new proposed offshore wind farms to begin construction next year. The Maryland wind farms will be only the second and third offshore wind farms in the entire United States. But onshore wind farms are booming. The wind industry just had its strongest first quarter in 8 years, according to a new report from the American Wind Energy Association. The wind energy sector in the U.S. is growing so quickly that, according to the report, a new wind turbine rises in America every 2.5 hours.
For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.